This Two Lectures episode features farmer, campaigner and educator Chido Guevara, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2011.
Hello. Hello. Do you hear me? I've been waiting for this for a long time and I was getting really impatient. I couldn't wait to get it over with. And I hope I will do a good job. Interestingly, the person who spoke just before me spoke about passion and desire. And my name, Chido, means passion or desire. So I have the tea. That's really interesting. It's been very nice listening to everyone speaking. And most of what I think, or most of what I wanted to say has been said, but still, I believe that everyone has got a story and everyone is a little different. It might be the same thing, but we have the little differences that we have. So I'm just going to tell my story, and this is a story about Chido. And yes, mushrooms are there too, but I'm not going to talk about the connection, I mean, how the mycelium is serving the world. No, it's just Chido and mushrooms. So I started with mushrooms at the age of 11. I'd stopped going to school at 9. And that was because at 7, I had to learn to understand what is taking responsibility. And this was taking responsibility of my grandmother and my little brother, because my parents were not there anymore. So I had to make the toughest decision of saying, what am I going to do here now that I am a mother at 7? And I was going to school and coming back in the evening and coming to no food at home and having to try and work to see if I can make it work, and it was difficult. At 9, I said, no more school for me. I have to do what I need to do. So I stopped going to school. I started working. I would work in people's gardens. I would work everywhere and try to get food for my family. But still, it was difficult. I used to farm. I would grow maize. I would grow sorghum and lots of other things that, you know, anyone could grow. But I could not buy fertilizers. I was just one person. My brother was like 5 and he couldn't do much to help me. So I went out of school so I could get food for them and I could give my brother a chance to go to school. And I was 9. So 9, 10, 11, things were difficult. I would farm, nothing comes out, and I had a lot of waste, and that was about it. And I remember my grandmother saying, we might have to make a plan that we go to my relatives and we go to beg. And she used to sing, and she came up with songs that we would sing when we go to beg. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And so at 11, there was an invitation for 15 girl orphans to be trained to farm mushrooms. And this was by a university in Zimbabwe, in a city called Mutare. So I was amongst the 15 girls that went for the training. And I had only gone to school up to the 6th grade of primary level education. I did not have shoes, and I went to a university to learn how to farm mushrooms. I remember I went with my clothes in a plastic bag, none of the very small ones. So I went and I walked there without shoes. I didn't mind. I just felt like I had to do something. If I could learn to grow mushrooms and save my family, then I would do it. So we went for 1 week, we learned how to grow mushrooms. And after the 1 week, I went back to my community and we were growing mushrooms and selling them. And it was so easy to get everyone to like them. And then we could make some money. I could earn some money and buy food for my family. But the other thing that made me very happy was there was extra money to send other orphans to school. And then I had to decide, do I want to go back to school or do I want to send other orphans to school? And then I continue to grow mushrooms, support my family, and actually start supporting these orphans. And then I decided that I would stay and continue to grow the mushrooms. And then before the mushrooms, a very dear sister had come to me and say, we see you struggling a lot and we think we can help you, but you need to come to my house and I'll talk to you. And I said, okay, fine. I went to her house and she said, I have a friend and he's 36, 37. I was 11. And he's been looking for someone to marry, but he can't find anyone. So we think he could actually be good help for you. If you marry him, things will be better for you. And I was really in a state where I could almost take anything, but I said no. And she said, why? And I said, well, because I want something better. And this was at a point where I didn't know what was better. It was just what I imagined, that there must be something better. Because what I was did not make me happy. It made me sad, it made me cry every time. And I remembered how my little brother and I used to sit, even our mother, after our mother passed away, and we would sing, telling our mom that we missed her and that we were cold. But she was gone, she was not coming back anymore. So I learned to support these orphans with the mushrooms. And of course, as can happen to any girl who grows mushrooms in a village where everyone is poor, and when you learn to grow mushrooms, everyone thinks this is the right person to make a wife. So out of the 15... out of the 15 girls, in less than 6 months, 13 of them were married. And as soon as they got married, they stopped doing it. And then, well, I'd learned to say no to men when I was 10-ish, when I got an offer to marry a 36-year-old who had a blue car. And so out of 15, there was only two girls left that were still growing mushrooms. So the person who trained us at the university, and the training was funded by the Zeri Foundation, the person who trained us says, well, you can come to the university and I can teach you more about growing mushrooms. And I say, yes. So I went, but it was very sad for me to have to leave my grandmother and my little brother. They were like the closest people to me. Everyone around me didn't matter because they were horrible to me. And my little brother and my grandmother were like the reason why I was doing everything that I was doing. But then something very interesting happened. The place where we were staying was from one of my uncles, my mother's brother. And so we were just staying a few steps away from him. And when I left, I was 13. And he said, if you're leaving, you're going to have to pay me for taking care of your grandmother. And that was his mom. So I went away to the university and I was working, I was earning some money. I was learning how to grow the mushrooms, how to grow the seed, and everything was very happy. And the first 2 years, I had to pay my uncle for taking care of his mom. And then at 16, I knew how to make mushroom seed from tissue culture. I could do the tissue transplant, and I could do the spore culture and everything. And it was happy. And I started to realize what an opportunity. I could not struggle anymore with the waste material from my agriculture trial. I could actually turn that into something. It was not a problem that I have to starve and look at this waste maize stover, maize cobs, and have nothing to do with it. It was really interesting. I started looking back and thinking how the other orphans were able to go to school and imagining that, how abuse can stop when you suddenly can provide yourself with food. But then at the same time, I thought it would be nice to go back to school. I'd learned to speak English because I had to sell mushrooms, and I'd learned to smile. I couldn't say a lot, so I would go there with my basin with mushrooms and say, I'm selling mushrooms. And they look at me and they're thinking, oh, okay, we're buying mushrooms. I couldn't say how nutritious mushrooms were. I couldn't say how healthy they can be and everything. I just would say, I'm selling mushrooms, and I smile. And then so I thought, it would be nice to go to school. I couldn't go back to primary again. I was 16. So I had to go to high school. And I was going to start in the middle of the year. And I thought, well, I'm just going to try and see how that works. So I went. And 4 years down the line, I realized it did not make me happy to go to school. Yes, I learned to speak English and everything, and that was nice. But that did not make me happy. Because every time I was walking to school, every time I was sitting in class, I couldn't help imagining that there are the girls or boys out there who are going through the same things that I went through. They could be abused by their uncles, because mine did. They smashed my feet. They told me things. They threatened to send me to go look for my father, who I didn't know. And it was horrible. So I said, what do I want to do? And I said, what do I have? And I said, I have this skill to farm mushrooms. I'm going to go out of school, and that's what I'm going to do. So I was 20, and I got out of school. I started going around training people, teaching them how to grow mushrooms, converting whatever they have to grow mushrooms. And with that, people could have food. And also the other thing was, when I went to school, my brother could not go to school anymore because my uncle would not do it. I was not paying him anymore, and so he could not do it. So I went. I thought also, I need to give my brother that chance. At least I have something I can do with my hands, but my brother maybe need to go to school. So I got out of school and I could send my little brother to school again, and I was working. And so I started, you know, trying to make this mushroom production really simple, that anyone could do it. And I was teaching people who've never been to school. I remember in India, I taught a group of women who did not even know how to write their names. And that for me was really, really special. And I told myself I would continue to work on this and try to simplify it to the point that anyone, anywhere can do it. So I went on growing mushrooms on maize stover, growing on sawdust as long as it was not poisonous, growing mushrooms on cotton waste, growing mushrooms on coffee waste. And then it came to a point where something really interesting happened. Then I discovered coffee grounds. I did not drink coffee when I was growing up, but it was interesting to discover coffee grounds. Then I continued to grow mushrooms and working with orphans. When I was little, I had experienced helping other orphans. It's something that I really enjoyed. And I told myself I want to commit myself to working with orphans. So when I went out of school, I got a chance to work with an orphanage. And that was really interesting. An orphanage had been that place that I always wished I could be in. When I was back in the village, I wished I could be in an orphanage. But then when I was working in an orphanage, I realized I hated it. So I'm going to show a few slides. That is the village where I grew up. And as you can see, there's all lots of maize, people trying to farm and everything. And every year there would be nothing. And that is my grandmother. Interestingly, my grandmother taught me a lot of things that I have come to value a lot about mushrooms. We would go mushroom hunting with my grandmother, and she says, when you harvest mushrooms, you have to leave a piece of the mushroom in the ground. The gods will give you more mushrooms next year. And the other thing that she said, if you see a mushroom rotting or you pick a mushroom, you realize you don't like it, leave it in the forest, and the gods will give you more mushrooms next year. And there was something funny about it. I didn't really believe in the gods giving me more mushrooms next year, but then I left it. And then when I learned to grow mushrooms, I learned to know what she was talking about was pure science, actually. Because when you leave a piece of a mushroom in the ground, that's how the seeds will replenish, and there will be more seed for the next season. That was, like, very interesting. That's my grandmother taught me a lot of things, and that's why mushrooms for me is not just mushrooms. It's a lot of things that connects with me with my grandmother, because I was able to feed her with it, and she taught me lots of the things that I know about it. Some of my first trainings in India, and these were the women that, you know, they could not write anything, and I mean, when they first heard about farming mushrooms, they thought, do you think we can do it? And I said, yes, you can do it. It's simple. And many people ask the same question. It's very difficult when you read about it in the books. You think it's impossible, but I did it in India with these women, and that's also in India. And we're doing this using wheat straw, and again in India. And this is something very interesting. So what inspired me to carry on with mushrooms was so I could feed orphans and I could feed villages that were struggling, because I could identify with that. But I had not really imagined that there could be a way of teaching entrepreneurs to start their own businesses using it. But then this was like the first one in 2008. So we started this in California. And there's two graduates from Berkeley said they wanted to try it, and actually they're making a very good business out of it. And this is converting coffee grounds from coffee shops into mushrooms. And that's just amazing, I think. And so this is part of their training. And there's something interesting about the picture. How do I point to it? There's that picture where I'm sitting with those women, and they were asking me, what if we could organize for you to come and settle in the United States, and, you know, because things are so hard in Zim? And I say, no, thank you. I like to go back to Zim. Maybe because I have a thing for trouble, but I love Zim. And so this is This is also converting invasive species that was like mustard that was filling the whole space and they didn't want it, and we took it and we grew mushrooms onto it. And then that's something very interesting that we did, because obviously it's very difficult to get funds to do some of the work that I have to do. If you want to reach out and you cannot write a fancy proposal so you get lots of money and everything, you need to come up with a few things that you can do to actually fund what you do. So the Cheetos blend is a blend of coffees from Zimbabwe, Tanzania, and Rwanda. So what we did with that is, during my visit in the States, we decided we want to be able to train more people in the coffee farming regions, and that's what we do. We launched the Cheeto blend, and through that, we were able to train in the countries where the coffee was coming from. But it was also very nice, because it was at a time where it was very difficult to get any person outside to want to do something in Zim. And I was very proud that we were able to export a container of coffee from Zimbabwe to the States. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And then there's something interesting. Cheetos mushrooms is in Germany, and it's healthy, it's local, and it's yummy. So, so that's also based on the coffee grounds. And that's, I mean, from a girl who's sitting from a point where it was impossible to do anything, the only help people thought they could give me was a man. That, I mean, it's amazing, I think. Thank you. And this is also like the whole coffee farming process in Zimbabwe and in Tanzania. So when we exported the containers of coffee from each of these countries, we were actually able to go and train. And this is the first launching of the orphans training orphans program that I started with the girls at the orphanage that I was working, because I believe that everyone needs to stand up to actually help them save themselves. And Orphans Training Orphans is a program that encourages orphans to stand up and actually work for themselves, not to wish to go to an orphanage where they sit and they touch to pray for the next donation of vegetables. So this is one of the biggest things that I've done, and I'm very proud of it. And this is the training of the coffee, the wives of the coffee farmers in Zimbabwe and in Tanzania. And what we do is we just use what is locally available. This is a guy who is cleaning the yard, and everything we take it, we grow mushrooms on it. And this is also with the girls. They don't have anything, they don't farm, they don't do anything, so they go to the people and clear their fields and take whatever they can, they use it to grow mushrooms. And the harvest comes really fast. And so we're growing edible mushrooms using what is locally available, and the children enjoy the mushrooms, and we're helping saving the planet if it needs saving. And then my big do, quickly, because I see my time is up, my big do is to actually, after writing this, I asked myself, what is the future of hope? Is it just me telling my story? And I said, no. And I saw my big do is creating the future of hope, and the goal of the future of hope is actually going to be encouraging orphans to stand up, transfer their sad experiences into an inspiration that can actually make them do better things or good things for themselves and for the world around them. So the Future of Hope Center is going to be coming soon, and I thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.